Good morning, everyone. I was thinking to myself as I walked in this morning, you can tell a minister's either been to presbytery or he's got a massive sermon for you when he's coming in with the two arms full. But you'll be glad to know I've been to presbytery. Well, we do welcome each and every one in the Saviour's name this morning. It's good to see each one that's gathered to the house of the Lord. Such a lovely Lord's Day morning. We do pray that the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house today. And to those online as well, wherever you are, we welcome you. Pray the Lord will bless you as you tune in to our broadcast this morning. We do remind you of the services, both for today and for the incoming week. We meet again tonight at 7 p.m. and, of course, the season of prayer at 6:30 in the upper room. And we continue and we come to the end of Acts 26 this evening and to that wonderful text of Scripture where King Agrippa says, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I want to look at that verse under the heading "Almost but Lost." And so do pray much for the Lord's blessing and for the Lord's help. Invite and encourage others to come in. And may the Lord be pleased even to bless us in his house throughout this day. Then on Monday evening, the recommencement of the children's meeting at 7 p.m. after their 1 week's holiday. And we do, as always, encourage you to remember that work in your prayers that the Lord will bless even there amongst the children. That children's meeting will be finishing just slightly earlier, at about 7:45, because at 8 p.m. we commence our Bible conference, which will be running from Monday right through until Friday. And we're looking very much forward to the Lord's blessing and to the Lord's presence, even with us at this Bible conference. As we've mentioned to you over the last couple of weeks, the Reverend Murray and Dr. Ian Brown will be the two visiting speakers, and they'll be taken at night about from Monday through to Friday. On Monday evening, we want to consider with them the topic of the scriptural basis for the Trinity, why we believe that God is a triune God. And then Tuesday night, we're going to consider Athanasius and his stand for the Trinity. On Wednesday evening, Henry Cook and his stand for the Trinity. And then on Thursday evening, we're considering why confessions and creeds. Why do we believe that it is scriptural to have a confession, even that we subscribe to within our church? And then the final night will be why it is the Westminster Confession of Faith that we as Free Presbyterians subscribe to. And so we do invite you and encourage you, young and old alike, to make an effort to be as here as much as possible throughout this incoming week. Pray much for it. Pray the Lord's blessing will be upon his servants as they come to minister to us night by night. Then the service is next Sunday. Sabbath school in the morning at 10:30. And then 11:30 will be our remembrance service as we remember those that gave their lives on behalf of our country in the two great wars and the conflicts that there have been even since. That'll be at 11:30. And then our normal evening service at 7 p.m. And do, of course, remember the seasons of prayer before both services, and I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct those services. Next Sunday is also Building Fund, and we remind you of that. Then this Saturday, coming Saturday, the 12th of November, on behalf of the Youth Council, they have organised in our Dungannon congregation from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. a missionary day. And there'll be various missionaries, both retired and serving, missionaries attending that conference and attending that day, and different Q&A sessions and different speakers and topics throughout that day. And it's open to all, young people especially, of course, but it's open to all. If you have an interest in missionary work, you'd like to go along there. It's completely free of charge. And if you're attending, all it's said is just bring yourself either some food with you or some money that you can nip to the shop at lunchtime. Then on behalf of the Reverend Macmillan, his third volume of the Paper Pulpit, Reverend Macmillan puts these particular little scripture verses and little thoughts into the newspaper in his local area. And every so often then he brings them together within a book. And we have 12 of these available if you would like a copy of them. They're priced at £3. And there's a list in the front porch. We commend that little book to you. The latest Vision magazine is also in the front porch. Please make sure you get your copy as you leave after the morning service. And then, it's coming near the end of the year, so let the Bible speak of their calendars out. And this particular calendar is a special anniversary calendar, and it is marking their 50th anniversary of Let the Bible Speak in formation and in work right across not only Northern Ireland, but right across the world. And so it's priced at £5. It's an anniversary one, so maybe you'd like one. Well, we have 15 of them available this morning. There's another list in the front porch. Please get your names down as quickly as you can. Maybe you like them for maybe just a stocking filler to pass on to someone coming up to Christmas as well. We commend it to you. I got a text message on Saturday morning going, not looking forward to the month of June. And I didn't have these with me. I only seen it this morning. Don't let June put you off buying it. It's me. I don't know why they have me out of anybody, but I am there in the month of June. But don't let that put you off. I can't give you a discount if you cut June out. But they're there in the front porch, as I say. Do sign up if you'd like either the paper pulpit or the calendar for 2023. Both lists are in the front porch. The hymn number 4, page 176. The hymn number 4. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Hymn number 4 will stand as we sing, please. Let's still ourselves, still our hearts and our minds, unite together around the throne of grace. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we come to thee, O God, rejoicing. We thank thee for that wonderful line of truth that we've just been singing, His blood avails for me. We thank thee for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that fountain filled with blood that was drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. We thank thee for the blood even now as it speaks in heaven. We thank thee, O God, for the speaking blood of Christ. We thank thee, O God, that it even speaks on our behalf. It's better than the blood of bulls or of goats. It speaketh better things than that of Abel's. And, O God, we rejoice in the perfection, the purity, and the power of Jesus' blood. We thank thee this day that we're redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but we have been redeemed by that blood. Oh, what a joy is in our hearts. What a peace we have, a peace that passeth all understanding, to know that it is well with our souls. O God, bless us as we gather to worship and to praise this day. O Father, accept all of our worship. Cleanse us afresh. Fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. May everything this day resound to the honor and to the glory of King Jesus. We thank thee, O God, for this thy day. We thank thee for the truth, and the great hope that we have in this day, that Jesus is alive, that it was on the first day of the week that he rose from the dead, and he lives forevermore. We thank thee for the victory over death and over hell. We thank thee, O God, this day that we live in the realization of that victory. Lord, we have nothing to fear, but rather we have everything to hope in. We have everything to believe in because of Christ. Lord, bless us as we are here. We thank thee for each one that is before us in thy house this day, O God. We thank thee for thy hand of mercy upon each one another week. Lord, bringing us safely into this, the dawn of a new week. Father, we pray for thy blessing. We pray for thy help, for thy faithfulness once again towards us. Remember each one in their own homes. We pray for the presence of God to be a reality in the homes of thy children. That they will know that the Lord is in the house with them. They will know that the Lord is watching over them, that the Lord's hand is upon them. We think of the devil even as he spoke with the Lord in relation to Job, and how the devil had to admit there was a hedge around about Job. Oh, for that hedge to be round about thy people. For that hedge to be round about the marriages, to be round about the families. O Father, that thou wilt keep thy hand upon each one. Lord, remember young and old. Remember the individual needs that there are. Remember the concerns, the worries that there are. Father, we spread them before thee. We thank thee for answered prayer in these days. We thank thee, O God, for that touch, even upon individuals. Lord, for bringing them through. We just pray that thou wilt strengthen, that thou wilt encourage. Lord, that we will keep our eyes upon thee, the author, the finisher of our faith. Lord, remember this work as a whole. We thank thee for the work amongst the children already this day. We thank thee for the going forth of thy word. O Father, speak. Bless it to their hearts. Speak to the children, to the young people. Lord, we think of those that are saved. That they, O God, wilt even grow in grace. They will live for thee. That they will take their stand for thee. That even though there's much temptation, there's much difficulty and hardship even for young Christians, that they will live and serve thee. Lord, remember those children that are still not saved. Have mercy upon them. God, save their precious souls. Do that work that only thou canst do. Lord, remember in the incoming week, we think of our Bible conference. We look forward to it, O God. We ask thee for thy blessing to be upon it. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit to be given to thy servants night by night. Bring them in safety. bring them with that message from thee. Lord, give us a desire to be in thy house. Give us, O God, that desire to set aside this week, to come night by night and to study and to hear thy word. Lord, equip us in this day. Strengthen us. Give us that understanding of the scriptures. Give us that understanding of our history. Give us that understanding that we need even to stand for thee. Oh, Father, bless each one. Bless our denomination. Bless our moderator. Bless all of the office bearers of our presbytery. Bless every minister, every elder. Bless, O God, every congregation. Bless our students. We think, O God, even as it's quickly approaching their exam time once again, thou wilt be near unto them. Thou wilt bring them through and help them. Lord, we pray for seasons of revival, refreshing. O God, how much we need the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. Much we need to be awoken out of the sleep of death. O Father, awaken us, I pray thee. Lord, cause us to be up, to be watchful, to be alert in these days. Lord, cause us to stand for thee. Lord, revive this pulpit. Revive every pew, every individual. O God, give us seasons of blessing from the hand of God himself. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The hymn 58, page 199. Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. The hymn 58 again will stand as we sing, please. We continue to read through the book of Proverbs together. This morning we commenced reading chapter 4. Chapter 4 in the book of Proverbs. Again, we'll read half of the chapter together. Proverbs chapter 4. The verse 1, "Hear ye children, and the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and ye shall, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honour when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. As we reminded you when we first entered into this book brings us to Christ. And whenever we see the word wisdom, we are thinking of Christ. Christ is the wisdom that it speaks of here. And so on two occasions, it informs us, it commands us, it exhorts us, get wisdom. How vital it is that you have Jesus Christ. Above all else, make sure you have Christ in your life. Make sure you have the Son of God. Make sure he is your Savior. Doesn't say get money. Doesn't say get health. It says get wisdom. Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're just going to sing together the hymn 84. I'm conscious it's November, and this is, if you want to put it, the Christmas section, because it's bringing us to the birth of Christ. But this morning in the book of Ruth, we're considering a son born in Bethlehem, which of course will bring us to Christ. We're going to sing the hymn 84, "Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame." And as we remain seated, the morning tithes and offerings will be lifted, please. Let's make verse 3 our final verse, please. Let's come again to the book of Ruth in the chapter 4. After today, really, there's only one more message from this book. Next Sunday, as we mentioned in the announcements, will be Remembrance Sunday. And so, God willing, then the week after, we will come to finish the little book of Ruth. But this morning, as we come to chapter 4, we'll commence the reading at the verse 13. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. I want to consider this morning the child born in Bethlehem. The child born in Bethlehem. Let's just still ourselves. In God's presence, ask the Lord to speak to your heart, even through his word today. Father, we come to thee now and we confess our need. We need to hear the voice of God. We cannot speak of ourselves, we cannot say anything. For without thee, we can do nothing. And so we come. And we pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We pray, O God, that I will touch my lips. That I will touch my heart. That everything that is done and said this day, every word that is said will be from thee. That I will minister to every heart. O God, we pray for the searching of hearts. We do acknowledge that man looks in the outward appearance. The Lord looks upon the heart. And Father, we pray this day that thou wilt search every heart. If there be one this day that is unsaved, O God, we pray for mercy. If there be one that is cold, wandering far from thee, O, we pray for the return. We pray for that prodigal to return even unto thyself. We pray for thy children. Build them up. Encourage them. Strengthen. Lord, may their love for thee deepen and grow even as a result of our time together in this house. Hear and answer prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone likes a happy ending. In many ways, the ending of the book of Ruth is a happy ending. You have such a marked contrast between Ruth chapter 1 and Ruth chapter 4. What begins with sin and sorrow whenever Naomi and Elimelech and the children move to Moab, it ends with salvation, because now there is a kinsman, now there is a redeemer for Naomi. What begins with a reckoning for sin ends in rejoicing for a son. In the first chapter, you have three deaths. In the final chapter, you have a birth, a very special birth, a birth that stops the entire town of Bethlehem in its tracks, a birth that brings them all to rejoice and to give thanks for what has come to pass. A book that begins with disobedience and dishonor towards God ends with great honor being prescribed to his name. As Boaz takes Ruth to be his wife, that coming together of the man and the woman after his time up at the gate, you could very easily have just wrote, "And they lived happily ever after," and closed the book. That would be factually correct. That would be right, but it'd be far too simplistic. Because there's so much joy here. There's so much evidence of what God has done. There's so much evidence of the grace of God, because it's not simply that they lived happily ever after, but rather the importance is to see that there was a son. And he was born in Bethlehem. And from that son came redemption to Naomi. But from that son would come the Lord Jesus Christ. So much of this wonderful book of Ruth, we've looked upon Boaz. From that moment in chapter 2 that we were introduced to the great man of mighty wealth, our attention has been upon Boaz and the picture that Boaz is of Jesus Christ, and how Christ-like he is in all of his dealings. But this morning we're moving on to the next generation. This morning we're not thinking of Boaz being the type of Christ, but this morning we're now going to think of Obed being the type of Christ. The child that was born in Bethlehem, the child that gave so much joy, so much hope to the people for the future. And I trust this morning afresh we will see Christ. Remember, even in these final verses, you might think, oh, it's just a case of bringing down the curtain. It's just a case of wrapping up and tying up the loose ends. But I trust this morning as we go through these verses, and even as we're coming into the final section of this book, it's not simply bringing down a curtain. It's not simply closing the book and saying, well, the middle bit was fantastic, we saw Christ. But rather, even to the very final verses, and to the very final verse, that you see Jesus. That you see his majesty. That you see his majesty even in the sovereignty of God over every situation here. That you see the majesty even in the salvation of Naomi here, and how that Naomi is provided for. Child is born. A son has been given. And through Obed, we will see Jesus. Three things I leave with you this morning. Firstly, the verse 14, I want you to see the grace in the child. The grace in the child. The woman said unto Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman." You know, when the child is born, there is a coming together, specifically of the ladies in Bethlehem. Not much has changed over generations, has it? When a baby is born, it's always the woman who are most interested. Unless, of course, you have a family connection to that little child that's been born. Whenever, if there's a newborn babe that is brought into the church for the first time, it'll be the ladies that are over after the meeting, looking at the little one, getting a little cuddle. The men will dander on out and get into their car and wait for the lady to come. It's the same in Bethlehem in that day. It was the ladies that came round to the house. It was the ladies that came to see Ruth. And they came to see Naomi. And they came to see the child. And whenever they came and they saw that little child, they saw that little one even in the grandmother's arms. And they said, "Blessed be the Lord, because this day thou hast not been left without a kinsman." Namely, the one who rebelled against God. Naomi, the one who left the will of God. Naomi, the one who went away from God. Naomi, the one who went into the world, to Moab. Naomi, the one who put down her roots in the world. Naomi, even after her husband had died, yet she stayed another 10 years in the sins and in the place of wickedness. Naomi has a kinsman redeemer. That day, the day of the birth of Obed, now she has one who will be her kinsman. Interesting, isn't it? Obed, a little baby. Little child, the very first day of its birth. Very first day of it being upon this land. Already they look upon that child and say, "Naomi, that is your kinsman. That little one that you now are taking into your arms, that little one that you will help to nurse, that little one that you are putting the clothes upon, that you are ensuring all is well with, that, Naomi, is your kinsman. That's your redeemer. That's the one who will meet your need. That's the one who will be a blessing to you." In spite of all of her life, in spite of all of her feelings, in spite of all of her rebellion, yet God didn't abandon her. He never abandoned her in the first place whenever she heard that God had visited his people and given them bread. And he never abandoned her in bringing her back. He never abandoned her in bringing her to Boaz. He never abandoned her now in bringing her a redeemer. Well, my friend, do you see the picture of the gospel? Even through the birth of Obed there in Bethlehem, we have the picture of Christ coming. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem to be your Redeemer. He was not simply a child there for Mary and for Joseph. Jesus Christ came into the world, why? To seek and to save that which was lost. You who have sinned, you who have come short of the glory of God, you who have rebelled, you who have turned everyone into his own way, and yet for you, Christ was born in Bethlehem. There's the grace in the child, there's the unmerited favor of God. He shows towards you and towards me. What was it the angels announced to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem? Luke 2 in verse 11. The angels were very specific with their words to those shepherds. They said, "For unto you." The angels didn't say, "For unto us." The angels didn't say, "For unto the world." The angels said to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Oh, what grace was evidenced in that little town of Bethlehem. You could say it was there in Naomi's day. You could say it was there in those shepherds' day. For both of them bring us to the birth of a child. A very special child. A child in which the grace of God would be evident. There was grace in the child, but then secondly, I want you to see verse 14, there's a gift of the child. There's a gift of the child. The end of verse 13, it tells us that when Boaz went into Ruth, that the Lord gave her conception. In verse 14, the woman said unto Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman." important to highlight this. It's important to emphasize the praise goes to the Lord. Not one goes to Boaz and congratulates Boaz and says, "Boaz, well done." God gave the conception. God gave the child. The praise goes to the Lord. Children are a gift from God. Every one of them. Even in these days when so many seek to legalize the murder of them. In these days whenever children in the womb are called unwanted and hindrances. In these days when women seek and argue that they have full autonomy over their whole bodies and they can do with their bodies what they want. Those bodies inside the woman's bodies are not theirs. They are gifts from the Lord. Psalm 127 in the verse 3 says, "Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Every child is a gift from God. It was the Lord who gave Ruth conception. It was the Lord who was to be praised. It was God who gave a son unto Naomi, and that son would be a redeemer to her and for her. Of course, the Lord's dealings and workings didn't simply begin in the conception of the child, did it? That's not whenever God first began to work. We can say, yes, there was the Lord's hand. The Lord gave the conception whenever Boaz went in on to Ruth. There a child came. Of course, God's dealings started long before that. God had a plan that Obed would come forth. And you can trace that plan right throughout the book of Ruth. You can bring it right to the very opening section. Because there was Ruth coming into the life of Naomi. And there was the word coming to Naomi. And there was a desire of Ruth to come back. And there was a salvation of Ruth even on the journey back that she declared, "Thy God shall be my God." There was the Lord bringing Ruth and Boaz together. Ruth went into his field. Her hap was to light upon the field of Boaz. God's providence brought it to place. There was a uniting of the two hearts. One fell in love with the other. They couldn't be separated. God's dealings, God's plan began far before the conception ever took place. God's plan was perfect. Again, I trust you see the spiritual parallel. The plan of God to redeem his people, the outworking of that redemption. God gave his only begotten Son. Christ was a gift unto us. That didn't simply begin just whenever Mary gave birth in Bethlehem. The giving of that gift was planned and decreed from all eternity. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Micah 5 in the verse 2, "Thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. That is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." There's the plan of your salvation. It didn't just begin whenever Mary was in that stable. It began from all eternity past, from everlasting. The plan was in place. From everlasting, the covenant was signed and sealed. From everlasting, the gift of the Son of God was promised. Christ came forth. Given of God for you and for I. One final thing, and this is really the special part. Bless my soul, even in the time in the study whenever I consider this man Obed, this little baby. Because within verse 14 and 15, you have the greatness of the child. The greatness of the child. It tells us at the end of verse 14, his name may be famous in Israel. He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. From the moment he was born, Obed was special. He was a special son. He was a unique child in Israel. Now remember who his father is, Boaz. Boaz is a man of mighty wealth, a man of great fame, popularity. And yet whenever this little child is born, immediately the prayer is already given, the prophecies are already in place, that his name may be famous. That he would grow up to be a tremendous blessing to his family, to the community of Bethlehem. He would be the greatest son ever born. Greater than Boaz. That his name would be above all other names. Colossians 1:17, speaking of Christ, it says, he is before all things. By him all things consist. Verse 18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Jesus Christ is this special son. He is the unique son. He's the only begotten of the Father. His name's above all names. It's at the name of Jesus every knee is going to bow. It's at the name of Jesus every name, every tongue is going to confess. Obed was a special son. But Obed was also a sympathetic son. You see in the verse 15 it says, he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. The word for restorer is shub. Shub in the Hebrew, it simply means to return. What they're saying here is, Naomi, Obed is going to return your life to you. He's going to give you everything you've lost. He's going to give you such blessings. All of that bitterness will be gone. All of the sadness and the sorrow from your sin will be removed. All of the heartache that your sin caused. All of that loss that you experienced in Moab because of your sin. All of it's gone. Obed will return to you the blessing. Obed will enter in, will help you, will strengthen you, will restore you. Obed's going to be the one that's going to draw alongside you. Obed's going to be the one to comfort you. Obed's going to be the one that will be that shade on upon thy right hand. Obed's going to be the one that will care for you, will watch over you. Obed's going to be the one that will give you peace. That's what Christ is to his people today. Christ, after all, is the one who's touched with the very feeling of your infirmities. Christ is the one who's experienced all temptation in his own life as he took on our humanity. He experienced it all. He knows what it is to be tired. He knows what it is to be hungry. He knows what it is to be vexed. He knows what it is to be broken. He knows what it is to be tempted of the devil. Knows what it is to be separated. Knows what it is to mourn. knows what it is to weep. Christ is the shield upon thy right hand. The sun, therefore, shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Why? Because the Lord is that sympathetic Son of God, full of love and mercy and compassion to his people. Obed was a special son. Obed was a sympathetic son. Obed was to be a sustaining son. Again, in verse 15, it says, he's a nourisher of thine old age. That word for nourisher is the Hebrew word kol. It means he will keep her. He'll sustain her. As she got older and older, whatever her need would be, Obed would be there. As she got older and older in life, if her physical abilities diminished, Obed would be the one to be there with her. If her mental state deteriorated, Obed would be the one to watch out for her. Every need that she had, Obed would meet. Whatever she lacked, Obed would supply. Now you think of it. All the sorrows of her sin. And the great depths those sorrows took her to. And yet surely we can say that the blessings in Obed far outweigh and outmeasure the sorrows. Everything that's promised to Naomi now through Obed makes all of her background, all of her sin, all of that wickedness, all of the covering, or all of the sin in the past, and all of the sorrow that it brought, all of it's now peeled compared to what she now has. My friend, that's the reality of the gospel and of Jesus Christ. Sin brings sorrow. Christ brings blessing. I think of that hymn, his love hath no limit. His grace hath no measure. His power hath no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and he giveth again. One final thought. Obed was a servant son. That's exactly what the name Obed means. It means servant. He was born to serve. He was born, and he would be that servant unto Naomi. And how you think of it, all of the exaltation, all of the glory, all of the fame that his birth brought. Entire town have gathered together. The entire town are worshiping and praising God for a servant. For one to serve. Normally, they would gather together to praise one who would rule, who would lead. They're gathering together to say praise unto the Lord for one to serve. All of that glory, that exaltation, that honor. And yet even in his birth, we're considering his humility. He's only a servant. Isn't that Christ? His two estates, humiliation and exaltation. When Christ was born, he was made lower than the angels. Laid in a manger in Bethlehem. He's going to be the servant. One to fulfill all parts of the law. And yet even in the humility and the humbling setting of his birth, the exaltation of the heavenly host. Glory to God in the highest. In earth peace. Why? Because unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Obed, for all of his greatness, was a servant. Jesus Christ came into this world. Yes, all of the greatness there in his birth. And yet he was born in this earth to be the servant. To be the God, or to be the Lord's servant. To fulfill the law, and then to sacrifice himself for my sin, for yours. What blessing is found in the child born in Bethlehem? Do you know him? Is Jesus Christ your Savior today? Is he the one that sustains you, keeps you? Oh, my friend, if he's not, then I plead with you, come to him now. Come and experience his love, his mercy, his grace. Come and experience that gift of God, which is eternal life. Let's pray together as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the one who left the splendors of glory, the one who died upon the cross. We thank thee for that day and hour he took our humanity. Born as a babe in Bethlehem. We thank thee for his life. Lord, that life of service, even to his Father, on behalf of his people. We thank thee for his death, the shedding of the blood. We thank thee for the peace, the comfort, the joy that we have today in Christ. Father, bless thy word to our hearts. We pray that thou wilt speak on. Lord, that thou wilt work in each one. Bring us again this evening. Give us a special time in thy house around the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen.